From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Later on tonight, almost supermoon open lines. So get ready for that. Here's what's happening. You know, just yesterday we had a story about a scientist who said the caldera at Yellowstone, the inverted volcano, is twice as large as they thought. But he said, don't worry, nothing's going to happen. Well, listen to this story. Extreme heat from surrounding thermal areas has created a hot spot in Yellowstone National Park, melting a portion of a road and causing temporary closures in the park during the peak summer tourist season. The more than 3-mile-long Firehole Lake Drive, which is an offshoot of the park's Grand Loop Road, located between Old Faithful, the Geyser, and Madison Junction, is closed because of the melting road that has turned into a soupy mess. Tell me it's not getting hot there. A strong earthquake hit Japan's north coast near the nuclear power plant, crippled in the 2011 earthquake and tsunami, Fukushima. The earthquake early Saturday triggered a small tsunami, injured at least one person. Federal health officials disclosed a new safety breach at a high-security U.S. laboratory involving dangerous avian flu, a lapse that came to light as they investigated the potential exposure of government researchers to live anthrax bacteria, another mishap. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said an internal probe found that multiple failures by individual scientists and a lack of agency-wide safety policies had led to the potential exposure of more than 80 lab workers to live anthrax at its Atlanta campus last month. You remember that story. Researchers in a high-security lab sent the samples of what they thought were inactivated bacteria to colleagues in a lower-security lab with fewer protections. And also, the investigators discovered a previously unreported incident that CDC lab workers sent avian flu and really a dangerous strain to other counterparts. Man. Illegal aliens are being allowed to fly on commercial airliners without valid identification. This according to the National Border Patrol Council. The aliens who are getting released on their own recognizance are being allowed to board and travel commercial airlines, the same ones you fly, by simply showing their notice to appear forms. Not very smart. Feeling cynical and hostile toward others? Well, it might double the risk of having a stroke in middle age and older adults, according to a study. The Research in Stroke, which is a journal of the American Heart Association, found that depression and high stress increased stroke risk. Bad reactions to psychiatric drugs result in nearly 90,000 emergency room visits each year by U.S. adults, with anti-anxiety medicines and sedatives among the most common culprits, according to a study. Let's check in with our resident psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin. Well, Peter, you knew this all the time, didn't you?
Oh, George, it's much, much worse than this, actually. It's got to be multiples more than 90,000. If you drill down at this article, the things they're seeing being caused by psych drugs are what I would call the stupid doctor's list. That is what any doctor might attribute to a drug. Delirium, which is the patients are obviously confused and physically, head injured, basically. You know, it doesn't know where he is. Somnolence, the patient's falling asleep because of the drug. Falling down because of the drug. Head spinning, vertigo because of the drug. Rashes and hives. Abnormal movements. I mean, this is stuff from 50 years ago. We now know that, in fact, all the psychiatric drugs pretty near can produce irritability and anger and violence. So when the patient comes in angry, out of control, and violent, the doctor's not even attributing it to the psychiatric drug. Patient comes in suicidal, that's not high on the list anywhere. It's not even mentioned. And yet many people who are going suicidal in the emergency rooms are getting it from the drugs. Agitation, anxiety, nervousness. I see that every day in my practice from these drugs. Insomnia, apathy, lethargy, unstable moods. See, none of this the doctors are even recording in the emergency room records as having anything to do with the patient being on a psych drug. In fact, the doctor might give him more of his psych drug during the visit. I see this in my medical legal work. I see it in my practice. George, it's much, much worse than 90,000, which would be a minuscule part of the estimated 27 million people on psych drugs that the article gives. So we have a disaster out there.
We sure do. Medication Madness. That's the name of one of Peter's books, by the way. Peter, thank you. Seattle's first and only recreational marijuana store had to close its doors Friday after running out of stock in just 3 days since Washington became the second U.S. state to allow pot sales to adults. They had a run on pot. A blip of radio waves detected from far beyond the Milky Way galaxy amid deep space has left scientists simply saying they really have no handle on the mysterious fast radio burst. A split-second burst of radio waves discovered through the Arecibo Radio Telescope in Puerto Rico has given scientists new evidence of the rare and mysterious pulses emanating from deep outer space well beyond the ends of the galaxy. Could it be a message? We'll have to check in one day with Seth Shostak from SETI. Who knows? But what else is going on in the skies? Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. What's our weekly update, Peter?
Yeah, good evening, George, and I'm delighted to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to the end of this week. We just updated our website, and we've posted about 640 new reports in the last 7 days. I've never seen anything like it. In your news report, you mentioned that aliens are traveling without permission. Well, it appears to me that other types of aliens are traveling without permission as well.
But good point.
There's so many reports, I don't even know where to begin, but let me touch on one that's perhaps one of the most eye-catching. 8 nights ago, the 3rd of July, 2014, in Niles, Illinois, just north of downtown Chicago, a senior sergeant officer with an Illinois state police agency was out on patrol. He stopped a woman who he thought might be a DUI candidate. Turned out she was not. He sent her on her way, and he was mystified by why the radio and the computer in his squad car were not working when he tried to do a trace on her driver's license and license on her car. Well, after he sent her on her way, he saw two red objects in front of his cruiser, perhaps about a quarter or a half the size, perceived size of a full moon in the night sky. And he was so intrigued by this, he pulled his cruiser into a small spur off the road, got out of his cruiser and stood there and watched these objects maneuvering in the sky. He said, I've interviewed him for about a half an hour. He said he's never seen anything like it. Told some of his colleagues and compatriots, and of course they just laughed at him, but a very, very good report. People can see his report. There's a link from our homepage at ufocenter.com. Very good report. 4th of July, I've not seen anything like it since I've taken over this job, George. About 250 reports in one day, maybe a little bit more than that. And if people would like to see a sample of the type of reports I got for the 4th of July, I'd encourage them to go to the reports for the state of Washington, in particular Seattle. Very, very interesting incident occurred just before the fireworks started over Lake Union. A lot of very good reports from people in Washington. And to close it off, I had a very interesting sighting myself on Saturday night, the 5th of July.
That's another one for you.
Here in the city of Harrington, where I reside in eastern Washington, fortunately, I was standing with three other adults. We saw this thing, a very, very bright light, as bright as a welder's arc, streaking through the night sky. I was able, thanks to the National Weather Service, able to do a little calculation, doing up to 6 miles a second.
Wow.
It apparently had been seen just a minute or two earlier down in Albany, Oregon. Lots going on. People can see the reports on our website, ufocenter.com.
Talk to you next week, Peter. And his website, of course, ufocenter.com, as he just mentioned. Well, you might want to step outside Saturday night when a supermoon will rise in the evening sky. The supermoon, which will be bigger and brighter than most other full moons this year, or at least appear to be, will be the first of three such moons in consecutive months. The next supermoons will occur on August 10th and September 9th. And if tonight was any indication, it looks huge. Up next, we're checking in with Dash Beardsley. Why? Ha-ha! How about ghost tours of Galveston? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And George Norrie back with you on this Friday night into Saturday morning on Coast to Coast AM. Let me tell you about Dash Beardsley, considered Galveston, Texas paranormal expert. Founded the Ghost Tours of Galveston back in 1998. His passion for the supernatural, coupled with a very unique knowledge of Galveston's history, led him to create a number of tours designed to kind of pique the interest of even the most casual ghost adventurer. Dash's Ghost Tours of Galveston, recognized as one of the top ghost tours where? In the country. And here he is on Coast to Coast. Dash, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. What an introduction. Wow.
The only thing we missed,
I really appreciate
we didn't have the drummers behind us. But other than that, that's great.
That's right.
Hey, tell me about Galveston. You know, that's one area I've never been to. I've been to Dallas a lot, spent a lot of time there. But tell me about Galveston.
Galveston is a barrier island. It's 27 miles long and 3 miles wide, full of history, mystery, legend, and ghost stories, all about things that range all the way back to 1528 and even 1519 before that. 1528 was when Cabeza de Vaca actually discovered the island, and he was here. But there are certain theories that say someone else was here first, but I don't know about that. I'm just going with the generalized knowledge of it. But I think, really, Galveston per square mile is one of the most haunted places in the world. Really?
Really? Now, what's home for you?
I'm sorry?
What's home for you? Where were you born?
I was born in the Heights in Houston, Texas. And I began really getting information for this as a child. I was just, you know, trying to draw on something, so I picked up history books and began to read about it. And when I was a little boy, I could feel a pull to the place. And, of course, as a child, I didn't understand why. As a teenager, I drove here as soon as I got my driver's license for absolutely no reason, usually just because the place fascinated me. But even then, I could feel something there for me. I didn't know what it was, but it seemed to draw me there. And in 1994, I came and began a closer look at the mystic side of Galveston. And in 1998, of course, you know, I started the tours.
Hey, Dash, you've got your cell phone next to you, right?
Yes.
Okay, is it plugged in? Because we're going to have to do a phone switch while we're on the air here. So I'm going to have Tom call you on the cell phone. And then
okay.
You pick that up, and we're going to use that for a while because I'm getting a lot of breakup from your other phone. So
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So as soon as he calls you, just pick up the other phone, and we'll flip you over to that. Go ahead, Tommy. Give him a buzz, and we'll get that done. You know, the Galveston area, which, again, I've never been, has been hailed as it's one of the spookiest places in the United States ever. So here's Dash. He's right there in the heart of all of this, and he conducts these very special ghost tours. And you have him yet, Tom? We'll get him on as soon as we can and pop him back on. He's on with us for a couple hours. We're going to take some calls with him next hour, talking about, of course, his ghost tours. And, of course, what does that mean? You're going to share some of your stories with us and some of the things that have happened to you. So let's go back. There you are. Dash, you back with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So we've got you, what, on the cell phone now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll do that for a while and see how that holds up for us. But anyways,
okay. So
we're talking about why Galveston. Why does it seem to be so supernatural? What's so different about it?
Well, Galveston has a mystic side that's an absolute connection to history. As I said earlier, I believe no other place per square mile has more ghost stories and more mystery, beginning with the Indians who first inhabited the island, Joan Lafitte's short reign here, 1870 to 1821, the Civil War, including the Battle of Galveston, many plagues, many storms, hurricanes, and mysterious fires, the Great Storm of 1900, the reign of the Mafia, from the Roaring Twenties to the 1950s. You know, all that spells unfinished business.
And how about you? How did you become the Ghost Man?
Well, I feel I was a voice that needed to happen at the time. There were people here that had these stories but didn't have a real voice to say them because of whatever reasons. And slowly I began the process and started listening to their stories. I think I was someone that was just really interested in what they had to say. I was never really interested in doing a phony ghost tour or anything like that. I wanted to base it on real happenings, real encounters that included time-honored stories, legend connected to history. So later someone wrote about me and the name was more or less brought out that way.
Tell me about your tour, Dash, and it kind of take us on the tour right now, if you would.
Okay. Well, our tour deals with, it deals with many different subjects. There's first of all, the original Ghost Tour of the Strand. That's history, mystery, legend, and ghost stories. That's actually the first tour I created. And that's still probably our most popular tour. It's dealing with the legends, time-honored legends about the Strand and places like that. The Strand is kind of like 6th Street in Austin. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
sure am.
Or Bourbon Street in New Orleans, places like that. But what it is that was my very first tour. I knew I would have others, so I created the Restless Spirits Tour, which is an all-adult tour, only because we're dealing with things that aren't comfortable for little kids.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah, and then we've got the Secret Society Cemetery Tour, which is dealing with the history of the dead in the Old City Cemetery. And then we have the Jack the Ripper Mystery Island Tour, which is a very fascinating story about. It's a theory that Jack the Ripper actually came to America and actually came to Galveston and committed murder here.
There was talk that he was a St. Louis doctor. And
right.
And he came back. I wonder if this is the same guy.
I don't think so. I believe he was. I actually went to England, and I looked around, you know, just to kind of get a feel of what Whitechapel is like. And, you know, it's a lot different now. But then I started this study it took me about 5 years. I didn't really believe it was true, to tell you the honest truth. And I started doing this study on it. And I believe that Jack the Ripper most likely was not a doctor, but I believe he was most likely an upholsterer. Yes, sir. Excellent with 6-inch knives, which actually match what the body were like.
Point.
But I'm one of the, you know, thousands of people that say they think they know who Jack the Ripper was.
I wonder how many old couches there are in England that he may have stuffed some other bodies in.
Maybe quite a few. You know, he only did 5 murders there, and then he disappeared. And then I think he went to Paris, France, and then I think he went back to Amsterdam. And then from Amsterdam, he went to New York City, then from New York City to New Orleans, and then from New Orleans to Dallas, then from Dallas to Galveston. And that's, I believe, I know the lady I didn't know her, but I mean, I know of the lady that he actually murdered, who was a prostitute. And she was murdered in the exact same fashion that Jack the Ripper killed. So it's an interesting theory. I'm not saying it's 100% true, because without a time machine, none of us will really know, will we? You know.
But, well, in those days, Dash, they didn't have forensics. They didn't have DNA.
Right.
They,
right.
It must have been so easy for someone to get away, literally, with murder.
Well, they did do handwriting analysis and things like that. You know, so they didn't have DNA and they didn't have that kind of thing, but they had, you know, they measured and they were studying how they were studying how to work on dead people and how to examine the bodies. And actually, the famous From Hell letter, when he went to New York City, the famous From Hell letter was actually matched by Scotland Yard, who was hot on his trail, as I understand it. It was matched to the taunting letters he sent to the New York Police Department saying Jack the Ripper is not here. He's not in England. He's here, you know, basically. And so I believe that he came to Galveston and he killed here. But again, it's a theory. You know, I can't say for 1,050% it's true, because we'll never know. But I'll tell you, there's very compelling evidence that it really happened.
All right, Dash, stay with us. We're going to come back, talk more with you about Haunted Galveston, and then later on we'll take some phone calls with folks sharing their own stories with you on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Dash Beardsley with us. Dash, did you have a mentor when you were coming into the supernatural arena?
Well, sort of. I wasn't a very good tour guide when I started, and someone actually told me I was terrible and I should hire someone else. So I took that very seriously, and I began to study people, entertainers and various people. So I looked to Sam Kinison, Rodney Dangerfield, Elvis Presley, even Billy Graham, because I think Billy Graham was probably the greatest orator of all times. Whether he sold Jesus or something else, he could have sold it, you know. So I saw what they had in common. And I also looked to Hans Holzer, Troy Taylor, though I couldn't tell you all their works. I had a great respect for their fearlessness in blazing a trail for other ghost groups to follow, I thought, you know. So that's who I looked at. That was really my mentors, you would say. And I became a little better as I started realizing that I didn't need to be what I thought the people wanted me to be, but I just needed to actually become what was inside me. So that's when I got the rings and the duster and all that, you know.
Okay.
So they all represent something.
All right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Back to Galveston. What are some of your favorite haunted spots?
My favorite haunted spots. Well, to tell you the truth, almost every place I feel in Galveston has some kind of haunted history. I think if you were brave enough to walk and knock on doors, that you'd find at least one ghost story in every block of Galveston. There's a lot of, you know, as I said earlier, I've had people, you know, share a few things with me about their homes and things like that. Also, I was lucky enough to find some information there on the Strand for enough tours. Well, I have two tours there, and I have another one in the cemetery, and then I have the Jack the Ripper, which is a private tour. Anyway, so that's really how it went down, more or less that way. I hope I'm answering your question right.
I'll get you to admit which was your favorite haunted spot yet. We're not done.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I like Ashton Villa. Ashton Villa was where the Brown family.
All right, tell us his story.
Okay. It's where the Brown family. Mr. Brown prospered in hardware goods, and his daughter was a wildcat. She really was. She was very flamboyant. And she was known as Betty Brown. So when I came here, I thought, well, she's beautiful. She's got all this going for her. She's rich. She smokes cigars, broke every rule in the book. So I thought, if I'm going ghost hunting, I'm definitely going after her. So I walked around Ashton Villa, her home, and their home, actually, for three whole nights and got nothing. So I no pictures, no recordings. But that's when I really started more or less the journey that built the tours. So I would say Ashton Villa is among the top places. I'm doing a thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of The Afterlife of Leslie Stringfellow.
I have not. What? Tell me about this one.
All right. Well, this is a place. I just went to the place yesterday and looked at it. But what it is there's a book out. It's about $100 or the cheapest one I found was $79 because it's out of print. But what it was this gentleman lived, he actually died at 20 years old. His mother and his father in this home that I visited in Hitchcock, Texas, which is right over the causeway from Galveston, right there is where for 10 years they communicated with his spirit through automatic writing. And they got stories about heaven, stories about the afterlife, stories about predictions that would happen, you know, that actually did happen. And I'm just in the middle of the book myself, so I'm still a little sketchy on it. But I believe that's where we're going to be. It's not even on my website yet, but I believe that's where we're going to be on Halloween night. I think that's where we're going to be at about 12 midnight on Halloween. We're going to have a group of people there, and we're going to do a ghost hunt there.
I'm told I'm supposed to ask you what you wear on some of these events.
On my ghost tour or on the event?
On these tours, I usually
wear the same thing. I wear sunglasses. I wear rings that represent some part of my life that happened, you know. The reason for the duster, which is it looks like it's hot, but it's really not. It's really very thin, and the glasses are very thin. But I wear that because of reasons that you know, are really personal things that I can explain to you. You know, as I was growing up, I looked to these people. I lost my father at 7 years old, and so I looked to these people as sort of an example of a male figure. So, and, you know, the rings, they're Cherokee. They're also Christian. They're also American. They all represent something. So that's how I dress.
Dash, what do you tell people who simply do not believe in the afterlife or ghosts or any of that?
Well, first of all,
And have you ever been harassed when you're given a tour? Do you ever have some guy in the back going, "This isn't real"?
Yeah, I had a couple of, I'm not going to say what religion they were, but I will say that I had a couple of guys walk up and tell me I was going to hell. And I said, "Well, you bring the wieners and I'll bring the marshmallows." Okay. You know, and so they, I've had some things happen like that. I've had a few threats and things like that, but it's mostly because people fail to understand the purpose. I'm not here to make people believe that ghosts exist. I just tell them the information. I perpetuate mystery and hope that they get something out of it. So I'm not really here to convince them. Now, I believe in ghosts, but I believe in ghosts because they've made themselves real to me, you know, through experiences and things that have happened to me on a personal level. But my guides and myself, we tell them the information and we let them make the decisions. As far as the naysayers, well, I don't think the statistics are on their side, because the old statistics were 33% of the population believed that ghosts exist. 12% said they had experiences. Well, now it's up to 48%.
Yeah, much higher.
And almost half these people say they've had some kind of interaction with ghosts. So, you know, I think we're more open to it, and the chasm between life and death is a lot smaller. You know, we're beginning to understand a lot more.
Is it a science? Is it another dimension? What do you think it is?
Personally, I think it's a little simpler. I think that ghosts simply are energy. And I think we go through stages if we wish to return here or not. I think the things that motivate us to return here are the things that motivate us in life, like love, hate, jealousy. You know, there are negative emotions that cause ghosts to hang around. But there is a certain physics that goes with it. Ghosts, being energy, would have to go through stages to return to the earth as an apparition. And there's a reason that they don't stay an apparition. We don't see them for a long time because they are on a different vibration. They're in that particular stage that they're in. They're in that particular stage. So sometimes cameras will pick them up, but our own eyes will not see them. And sometimes they will, depending on where they are, but they cannot hold on to that energy forever. They have to let go of it and go back to spirit world, I think. That's just my belief.
What has been on some of the ghost hunts that you've been on in your career? Anything unusual? Okay. Have you stumbled across anything strange?
Well, I have... I've seen quite a few things, but, you know, most of it is with what I call my spirit eye, or the sixth sense, which is, I believe every person has it, but I believe all our lives we're taught to not believe in the sixth sense. We're taught, you know, seeing is believing. Well, sometimes believing is seeing too, you know, and so I think because of the sixth sense, I've seen some things that perhaps others missed. And not everybody. I mean, that's just in my general population here, you know. And I feel like they're more open to it. As time goes by, you know, people certainly are accepting more of the science behind ghosts, physics, and things like that. We're beginning to understand, you know, what's around us. So,
what about areas of Galveston? Are you getting much support from people when you go in to try to do either a ghost tour or a ghost hunt? Are they more open?
Well, at first they were not open, but I think with time they've certainly become open. I've had help from the Historic Foundation. I've had help from the Historic Commission. I check my stories and make sure that there's some, though I don't agree with every jot and tittle that they say, but I do check some of my stories against what their history says to see, you know, if they're accurate. So I will say this. I think... I'm the kid that they pat on the head and say, okay, go ahead.
go do it.
But yeah, but I think they accept me in their own way. It's just taken them a little while to do it.
Have
but,
you had a tour through a cemetery at all?
Yes, sir. I've had the Secret Society Cemetery tour. You know, some of the sources I've had are not conventional sources. I don't always look to history books and things like that because I find that history books about Galveston don't even agree. You can look at a day in September, for instance, and Isaac Storm, and you'll find that there are two different timelines in it. And so what I did is I did my own study on some of this, and I actually had people call me and tell me certain stories. One of the gentlemen that called me was calling about to let me know this story about his grandfather, who was a sheriff during the Great Storm. And he said, you know, looters were out stealing jewelry off bodies and anything they could get. So what they did was they took him over to a canal, which is not a canal anymore, and they shot him. They put him all in one spot, buried them, and then put a street over them.
Jeez.
And that just happens to be right by where the cemetery is. So, now, again, you're not going to find that in history books, but it was from a very good source, I'll just say that. And there's the story of Lizzie Alberti in the Old City Cemetery. She was a lady that I compare her a little bit to Andrea Yates. She poisoned five of her children, and actually four of them died. Her oldest child, that was 16, lived. They're all buried there in the cemetery, and then she committed suicide. She went to a sanitarium.
Horrible
stuff, yeah. And she committed suicide, so four of her children and herself are buried in a certain spot on our cemetery tour. Our cemetery, the Old City Cemetery, is actually seven cemeteries that grew together over time. The Old City, the Oleander, Evergreen, Episcopal, Catholic, and then there was the Yellow Fever Cemetery, the New City Cemetery, the Hebrew Benevolent. And there's a lot of strange stories in there. But there's also, you know, a lot of that tour is based on history, Civil War history, and that kind of thing. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. A little bit. So What do you think this is, though? I mean, that's the big question, the $64,000 question. What is the other side? Is it very natural? Is it something that was always there? Is it more of something dimensional? What do you think it is?
I think the other side is where we're all headed for sure. But I think the other side, simply put, could be another dimension, but there's too many communications, I think, to say that it's an actual different dimension. There's too many interactions between the two. So I'm not convinced it is another dimension. I'm not convinced about a few other things that have to do with the afterlife, too, like reincarnation. Some believe that. I'm not sure I'm convinced that that actually happens, which surprises a lot of people because, you know, they think that I may believe in it. But I can't say for 100% fact that I do believe in reincarnation, but I do believe that we are on a spirit journey. And I believe when we reach the other side, that is when we find the end of it. And it's going to be a great thing, I think, over there.
Do you, when you're doing all of this, mm-hmm. do you believe that there is evil
Absolutely.
You do believe
in demons? Yes, sir. I do believe in demons. I do believe in, I believe in angels as well. I believe in things like that. But there's too many things that say that there's evil that influences the world. You know, a lot of killers will say, you know, it's like something took me over. And when I stabbed that person, I just kept stabbing them because it was like I was out of my body. And maybe at the time, I'm not excusing these guys, don't get, misunderstand me here, but maybe at the time there was a great big evil influence on them.
That's
possible.
I mean,
things that, yeah. You know, things that happen like that every day, you know, horrible things that happen in our world, there has to be evil there. But I believe that by the same token, there's a lot of love and kindness and civility around too.
I mean, I do believe that there are some people who are in jail right now for heinous crimes who committed those heinous crimes, but they may have been possessed. Something may have helped contribute to this horror that they did. I'm not going to say no, that's not possible. I think it's very possible.
Right. They're ultimately responsible for what they did. But I believe still that nothing can completely take you over unless you let it. You know, that's my belief.
Precisely. They let these entities in, either whether they were drunk or under the influence of something or, you know, they played with a Ouija board. Who knows what they did.
Right.
But I think they're responsible for it initially.
Yes, sir. I believe that exactly. Yes.
Do you
think they're responsible? I believe in, I don't want to get political here, but I believe that every person is responsible for what they do. Every person is responsible for their own actions. And that's how I believe. You know, I don't believe in excusing people for certain things, you know, heinous crimes and things like that. Anyway, I'm sorry.
How about your websites? What websites do you have out there, Josh?
I have Ghost Tours of Galveston Island.com, and I have a second site that is called the Dash Beardsley's Wake the Dead Show. And what that's about is, would you like me to tell them right now what that is?
Want me to say no?
No.
Go ahead. Okay.
It's going to be on September 6th. It's Hollywood personalities, horror, cosplay. We're actually bringing in real paranormal people. Eric Roberts is going to be there, the actor Eric Roberts.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Where's this going to be?
It's going to be at the Galveston Convention Center at 5600 Seawall. C. Thomas Howell, if you happen to remember him, he was in The Outsiders. He played Pony Boy in The Outsiders.
Pony Boy.
Jennifer Lynn Warren. He's been a lot of other stuff besides that. Jennifer Lynn Warren from American Horror Story. Scott Michaels owns Dearly Departed Tours in Hollywood, California. You've probably seen him on shows. He's a leading authority on Hollywood murders, like the Manson family, for instance. Larry Flaxman, you've had him on your show.
Yeah, we sure have.
Yeah, scientific researcher of anomalous phenomenon, who is a 7-time best-selling author. Ken Girard, Lyle Blackburn, noticed cryptozoology.
Well, you got a pretty good group of people then coming out to this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Good for you. Is this your first one?
Yes, sir. It's my first one, so I'm crossing my fingers and hope it works.
All right, good luck. And people can get more information off the Dash Beardsley type website?
Yes. They can go to either site, and they're going to see. If they go to Ghost Tours of Galveston Island, just go scroll down the home screen to the bottom, and you can click and go to the other site. That's the easiest way, probably.
Yeah. Super. All right. Well, good luck with that, Dash. Dash Beardsley heads up the ghost tours down in Galveston, Texas. Remarkable. What a night, by the way. Have you been outside to see the moon? Now, tomorrow night's the super moon night, but tonight it's not bad. So if you have a moment, just take a peek up there and then come back and listen to Coast to Coast AM. Because when I do come back, we've got 3 hours of open lines for you on Supermoon Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.